Let me explain to the listeners what's happening here. We're in this hot crowded dressing room here at the psychedelic supermarket in Boston, Massachusetts, which Al has described as looking something like a garage, which was but anyway, I'm doing here is I'm talking into two microphones. And I'm just going to kind of trade off with these two gentlemen, and I'll probably answer one boy's question in the other microphone. I've been asked to give you just like a brief rundown of the group. Basically, the group is like divided into two sections. There's four rhythm instruments and four horns used. They're used as two separate ensembles, like the old big band concept. The rhythm section, we've got the leader, Al Cooper. He plays organ, and he does most of the singing. And Steve Katz plays the guitar and does some of the singing. And Bobby Columbi plays the drums. And I'm yours truly, Jim Fielder, and I play the bass. In the horn section, we got Fred Lipsius, who's kind of the head of the horn section. He plays alto sax. And should I have said the leader of the horn section? And then we got Dick Halligan on trombone. And Jerry Weiss plays first trumpet, Randy Brecker on second trumpet. That's a general rundown of the group. Any more questions?
Tell the room managers.
We got a bunch of other people running around with us. I don't know exactly what they do, but they travel around. We got Don Johnston, who I understand is our production supervisor now, which I guess means that Larry Waterman is promoted to road manager. So.
Do the two ensembles work independently of each other? They're, like, say, the basic guitar and bass and drums and organ work out something, and then the ensemble works on it?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
Separate arrangements?
Yeah, the way we arrange our stuff, when we go to do a new tune, Al and Freddie, they'll get together and go over the tune, and Al will, like, have in his head what he wants to hear, and Freddie mostly just writes it down. They'll write out the horn parts and chart them out, you know, note for note on charts. And then when we get together and rehearse it, Al just kind of teaches it to the rest of us in the rhythm section. We learn it, and the horns come in the next day, and they just read their part, you know, off the charts. And, we just kind of put it together that way. The two ensembles, so I guess you would say, while they're arranged independently, work like in conjunction with each other. What was I going to say? I was going to say something real important, but I forgot. give me another question. I'll probably think.
How long?
Where's my Coke?
Coke?
Yeah,
it's Coke's over there, I think.
Okay, now your next question.
Okay, how long have you guys been playing together? As the entire group, the way it stands now, is on stage tonight.
I'll explain to the listeners there that. Why the fella laughed when I said that is because I just pulled the old gag of looking at my watch. No, actually, I guess we've been together, all eight of us now. November, December, yeah, about 5 months, I'd say.
Yeah, not the first part of you being together, getting the album together, getting the arrangements set.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Our first major project. Well, we got together, and then Columbia Records in New York threw a press party for us over Thanksgiving, which was just like kind of our debut. But we got to work on the album right about Christmas time and finished it in about 2 weeks. So that was our first real project. This tour here is our first time playing outside of New York. The album was just released last Wednesday.
You feel that you'd rather, you know, stage show is much better than your albums. Put it this way, do you enjoy an in-live performance rather than in the studio?
Well, I tell you, the way I look at it, and the way I think the rest of the boys look at it, is that... When you're in a group like this that can perform musically, like the same thing on stage that can do in the studio, there's really no preference. Like, I'm just as happy on stage or in the studio. And, you know, except for a few little overdubs and a couple of little tape tricks to make it interesting, the songs on the album sound just the same on stage. So that's one nice part of the group. So you can hear, like, you know, listen to a record with a great production and big arrangement and everything, and you go see us in person, hear exactly the same thing.
A lot of the groups these days are, let's say the Beatles, for instance, a lot of groups are emulating them. The Airplane, for instance. They go into a studio, and they don't feel satisfied until they spent about 3 months in the studio working and reworking their stuff. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's necessary for your sound, particularly?
Hey, it's not necessary for anybody if they know how to play their acts. You know, like, you listen to our album. Now, that's a first album for a new group. I would say, you know, that most new groups of the caliber that come out of L.A. and San Francisco and New York and Boston and anywhere, we're going to a studio and take about anywhere from 2 to 6 months to do an album of that production. You know, with that much arrangement. Like, in this group, we just went in, you know, and we knew the arrangements and knocked it off in 2 weeks. I think it's like everyone in the group has pretty good chops. Everyone knows their instruments. It's, you know, everyone's been in other groups before, and we've all been through the mill, so to speak. Like, Al and Steve were with the Blues Project before. And Bobby's played with Eric Anderson and Odetta and people like that. And I was with the Mothers and the Buffalo Springfield. And Freddie's played in more jazz bands than I can think of. And the same with all the horn players. Randy's played... Randy played with Clark Terry. And Jerry used to play with Maynard Ferguson. So, like, everyone's been around. Everyone knows how to blow. You know, like, we don't... I think a lot of groups, when they take a long time in the studio... A lot of the reason that they're in there for such a long time is that they're just not, you know, of the musicianship quality. You know, they can get it down in just a few takes. You know, they keep making mistakes, you know, and they get frustrated and they don't understand a part in the set. You know. Whereas, you know, with us, it's just a matter of going in and playing. It's Al. It's been Al's baby for a long time. He had an idea quite a while ago of adding horns to the Blues Project. But, you know, like, that didn't suit Danny's concept of what the group should be, so there was a conflict, which added to many others, eventually forced Al to leave the group, which he did late last spring. He came out to L.A. last spring, like, it was about the beginning of the summer, in June. And I had just left the Buffalo Springfield at that time. I was just kind of wandering around L.A., you know, wondering what to do next. And so Al called me up and said, well, look, why don't we put a band together? And I said, well, you know, might as well, can't dance. And so the first thing we did, we put a trio together with Al, me, and this other drummer from L.A. And we went and played the Big Sur Folk Festival, which is a little known but very high class series of concerts in the summer that's held up in Big Sur in California. And we played that, and then I came to New York with Al in July, and we put together the four-piece group, you know, with Bobby and Steve. And I guess at that point Steve decided that he would probably be leaving the Blues Project too, which he was saved the trouble of doing because the Blues Project broke up just a couple of months later. So that left the four of us, you know, free, and we hung around New York a while, just, you know, kind of playing for laughs. And then we went out and got just, you know, like, all woke up one day and said, well, I think today's day we'll go get the horn players. And next time we had a rehearsal, there they were, you know, and a few of the first charts all written. So band really started from that point. I guess that happened in October.
Do you personally like playing with horns as opposed to just
playing? You better believe it. It's kind of like a fulfillment of an old wish I've had, which is to play in big bands, jazz bands. You know, I used to play upright bass and jazz guitar and everything. Back in school, I would play in bands like that. And this is the first time since I started playing rock and roll, you know, and back into a band thing. And that's really where I belong. I'm happier with this group than with any I've ever been with.
Do you feel that you can say this to just about everybody who's in the group?
Yeah.
Each one of you is the other one's musician.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, when we're like all groups of people, and particularly when you got eight guys, you know, there's going to be little personal feuds and falling outs on the side. But when we get it, you know, when we get together to play music, everyone's right together. It's really beautiful.
I feel that this group has a chance to stay together longer than some of the other groups. That this many men, you know, it seems that when there's this many people in a group, the tendency is that, you know, one will leave and then another one's replaced. Before you know, it's down to three, you know, four to three.
Naturally, you know, with any musician, if he feels he would be more satisfied in some other group, he's going to, you know, leave the one he's with and go join it. And if that happened to anyone in this group, including, you know, myself, you know, that's just kind of part of the music business. Right at this point, like, I couldn't see myself leaving this group for any other that's already established at this point. And I don't think any of the other guys want to either. We'll probably have some changes in personnel as the group goes along, and I imagine what we'll do in that case is just replace the instrument immediately. Like, if we lose one of the horns, it's no problem, because all those charts are written out. You know, so that makes it a little easier to replace people. I think I can foresee we may just, like, keep expanding this group, you know, as we go along. And start making, like, more money on each concert, we can afford to take more people. We might, you know, their time may come when Blood, Sweat, and Tears will be like four rhythm and 12 horns and a string ensemble and three spade chicks singing background, you know, I could see that, the whole production.
A friend of mine, a musician, was described, when I asked him, what a Blood, Sweat, and Tears sound like, I've never heard you before, and he said, well, it's sort of like White Soul. Do you think this is a
White Soul? White Soul? That sounds like a dishwashing detergent. I don't know, if being white means you have a different kind of soul than someone else maybe who isn't white, then I suppose, because coincidentally enough all eight of us are white, that any kind of soul that would come out of this group would probably be white soul. If that sounded like a qualifying answer, it was meant to be. No, I say you know, mostly when I hear a statement like that, I just ignore it and kind of laugh, you know. But no, white soul, I would be probably pretty justified in saying doesn't even exist.
What would you? Let's say, let's play around with names. What would you term the bag you're in now? You can have also the mixtures, jazz and rock and folk and everything thrown in from the side. Where would you say that you are most now?
I would say our bag could probably best be described as a paper bag, as opposed to the shopping bag, which a lot of groups are in, or the laundry bag. I guess the best description for our sound would be music.
What's your favorite color?
Yeah.
Do you really only take a bath once a year? Yeah. All the other cool questions.
You have anything else, man?
I could just rap for a while.
Tell me, this is something I asked once in a while. It's like your favorite group. A lot of people don't like to say I've been influenced by your group. When I asked, tried very delicately to ask Zappa, you know, who he liked to listen to. The first thing he said before I could finish was, you mean, who do I copy? You know, is there anybody, what particular groups you really enjoy listening to?
Yeah, hey, I tell you, it would probably take me less time to just tell you all the groups I don't enjoy listening to, because if a group consists of musicians that are halfway decent, you know, and who are trying to just honestly make music, man, I like it. Like, yeah, all different kinds of groups. You know, I'm from three-piece groups like the Cream and the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Knock me out. Love them. As Big Brother and the Holding Company, fantastic, you know. And, all the groups I used to be with, I dig. And British groups and all, you know, I like all the, and then I listen to, you know, I listen to a lot of jazz. And and usually if I just want to listen to something, I'll pull out my FM radio and turn on the local classical music station. So it's, yeah, if I'm influenced by what I've heard, then I'm influenced by a lot of things because I've listened to a lot of them.
It's been said by a few people, and I asked Robin Trower and Pope Alvin the same question, the statement that the British groups are more, quote, exciting than the American groups, that the American groups tend to be thinking too much about how much money they're going to make, for the car they're going to buy, the whole bit. And then he says that he says he thinks that the British groups basically get into their music more. Do you think that this is a malady of American groups, that they tend to be thinking more outside?
I wouldn't really agree with that statement. I think the British groups are more into their show. If that's what makes them more exciting, then great. But like most of the British groups I've seen, put a great deal of emphasis on, you know, what they do on stage, their showmanship. If that's an indication of how far in they're getting to their music, then fine. But you know, I can't really see that. American groups, I don't know. American boys are maybe just a little shyer or something on stage. You know, they'll just be content to stand up there and play music a lot. And some of them to the point, you know, where it really gets boring to watch them. I think the thing is to kind of find a balance, to at least respond enough on stage that everyone, you know, feels what you're feeling with the music. But, you know, to go as far as a lot of the British groups and like, come up with a whole prefabricated show, you know, that's not quite right either, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you think that...
I don't know, maybe you dig vaudeville.
Well, I'm just, you know, answer your question, basically saying what I'm trying to get a comment. This is, you know,
yeah,
the reason behind it. I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying.
How much of your show, then, would you call spontaneous? And how much of it is, like, you know, already set down beforehand?
The show? You mean what
it
we
seems,
do on
stage? Okay, divide into two, then. Say how much of the music is spontaneous, and how much of what you do on stage visually is spontaneous.
The songs are pretty strictly arranged. Even when we go like into a wild part that seems that may seem like a, you know, temporary piece of chaos, it's pretty well worked out. As far as just the visual thing, you know, we don't really have a set visual thing. Everyone just kind of gets up there and freaks out more or less while they're playing. You know, it does. Some of us move around more than others, you know, but it's just kind of like every man to himself. We don't try to work out choreography or, you know, anything like that. Where do we go from here? Let me see. This tour works like this. We're here in Boston this weekend. Then next week, we go to Philadelphia and Miami. And then after that, we're in Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, San Francisco, L.A., and San Francisco again. And then back to New York to record our single.
There's a question I have, but I'm forgetting it. That's really terrible. I know I had one someplace.
What did I say? I want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, well, gentlemen, it was really a pleasure. And if any of the folks out there in the listening audience have been confused by the setup, well, just look up these gentlemen and hear the tapes.
Yeah, by the way, just one more. Now, you haven't been in Boston that long. You've just done one set. Any impressions of Boston?
Any impressions of Boston? Well, it's, I think, I guess just judging from what I've seen so far, forgetting, you know, any prior experience I may have had in Boston, I would say probably and be justified that Boston, without a doubt, I've decided that Boston is a city.
Thank you very much.